Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of the Immaticron. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Ridge, and this morning's show is entitled Run with Determination to Win the Spiritual Race. I would like to emphasize that today's show has a note of urgency attached to it. You and I live in urgent times. You and I live in a time in which people are questioning who they are. And this is a time in which there is a global spiritual crisis. Those who have opted to live within the moment, to merely live for and within the present, and to have no idea of a connection with the past, and without the hope for the future, are experiencing spiritual malaise. And it is a very complex public health problem. Now, you might think, how could spiritual malaise be a very complex and formidable public health problem or public health issue? Well, think about what people will try to do or engage in which to find satisfaction, or in their efforts to deal with or find a meaning in life, they will indulge themselves in self-destructive behavior. You and I know that the market for legal drugs, legal medication, that is purchased in order to help people deal with depression and anxiety, we know that these prescriptions are growing. And I know that the emergency rooms are being filled with persons who have gone there looking for help to deal with their anxiety and their depression. It is estimated by the year 2022, this will be pandemic. And so the reality, folks, is with us here today. And the reason why I have been bringing these messages on the race that we read about in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and other scriptures in the New Testament has to do with this very complex social phenomena, this very complex social health issue with regard to spiritual malaise. Now, Again, I say this because we can no longer afford to think within the confines of our favorite spiritual hamlets, in which we feel or may feel safe or walled off from the world. That world and that worldview, that milieu no longer applies. We live in a time in which people need to hear the good news of the living Christ. And those who have been vouchsafed with the Word of God are indeed runners with this good news. And so I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 24. Paul has written, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may seize. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown," that is, the Stephanon or the Stephanos, "but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run," Paul speaking of himself, "I therefore so run. And he places the pronoun I at the beginning of the sentence, and so it is in the emphatic position. And the Greek word here for I is ego. "I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air." And so Paul here is mixing his metaphors with that of the runner and that of the boxer. Paul says, "I am not a shadow boxer." Verse 27, "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection," that is servitude or dependence, "lest by any means, when I have preached to others," again, I emphasize the fact that the gospel is preached to those who are not yet saved. The word of God, the biblical documents, the contents thereof, are taught to those who are saved. The gospel is preached to the unsaved. "When I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway, dokimos," that is, disqualified for a prize. Paul understood that if one is to be successful in this race, there must be a life consistent with the message. Amen? Paul did not have that double message going on, this double think going on in his soul. Double faith is the ability or the phenomenon of holding two contradictory beliefs simultaneously and affirming them both, even though they are contradictory. This is double thinking. Paul did not live a double life. Paul was not diazeukos. That is, he did not walk beside himself. Paul's personality had been integrated through the living Christ and through the reception and the belief of the Word of God, appropriating the Word of God through his spirit. You see, when Paul learned the Word of God, he had a full intellectual understanding thereof. The Greek word is gnosis. But when the human spirit accepts the Word of God as it is, as indeed God's Word, then it is transformed by the human spirit through the power of the Holy Spirit into what is called epignosis. That means a complete knowledge. And epignosis means that the knower and the object of his knowledge are engaged or related in an intimate manner. See, many people have an intellectual understanding of the Word of God. But I want you to get the Hebraic roots of the Christian tradition. And so what people see and what is noted are one's actions. And that is why I tell you that the word faith in that manner, as a noun in the Greek, the word faith or pistis is a noun of action. But the word faith itself is not found that way in the Old Testament. We have imposed that understanding of the text. In the Old Testament, faith was not or did not have an intellectual formula or definition as we do in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. In the Old Testament, faith was demonstrated by one's actions. And so it is in the New Testament. Faith is demonstrated by one's actions. Please read the book of James. We are beyond, and this is not about mere talk. It is about one's actions and one's life. It is about what one does. In seminary, we were given this formula, what is God like? And the answer to that question was, God is like what he does. I love that, and that has stuck with me all these years. And so we may say the same thing about the individual. What is so-and-so like? So-and-so is like what he or she does. God is like what he does. There is consistency. There is abundant evidence that the living Christ has taken up residence within the heart and the life of the individuals. Of the individual. Now, you will never read in the scripture, well, we are to put God first. That is not found in the Word of God. And you will not find in the Word of God, well, the statement, I am a sinner saved by grace. You will not find that formulation. You will not find that. Paul wrote his letters to the saints at Ephesus or to the saints at Corinth, to the set-aside ones. You will not find a statement in the New Testament that says that the believing one or the believer has a sin nature. The word sin in Greek is harmatolos. It is an adjective. Nature in Greek is the word physis. You will not find that combination of harmatolos and physis in the New Testament. What you will find is the word sarx, and it is an ethical term. It means the flesh. Paul uses it both in a physical sense, and he uses it in a spiritual sense. And so he that sows to his sarx, not his sin nature, he that sows to the sarx, the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the spirit, shall of the spirit reap life, zoe, the Greek word for spiritual life, and peace, irene, God's own peace, the peace that characterizes the character and the heart of God. Everything within the New Testament is God-centered, with the human be with humans, that those who are saved, we are the objects of his grace. See, but the subject, the divine subject, is God. We are the objects of his grace. And so Paul writes that, and in verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race, and here the word for race is stadio or in stadioi, run all, and he is speaking of a race that was approximately 606 and three quarters feet. But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may attain. Hence, we are called to run with determination to win the spiritual race. And contextually, Paul is speaking about his ministry. Beginning in verse 19 of chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, for though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as Jewish, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law. Now, Paul did not mean that he lived as a lawless one, for instance, that which is dealt with in his letter to the Galatians, not being not without law to God, and so there he affirms that. But under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. The Greek word for communion or fellowship is koinonia, and that is the word that Paul uses here. The word in the Greek has the prefix sug, S-U-G, that I might be partakers with you. And then he states, know you not, oidete, know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. You see, the believer's life must be so committed. It must be so focused that he has this singular understanding, and that is living a life that is well-pleasing to his Lord. Verse 25, and every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. And the word here, temperate, means one who controls himself. The Greek athlete trained or placed himself under a training regimen for 10 months under judges who were very astute and very demanding from these trainees. If you were serious about this race, you would be trained, and the commitment would be in your heart to train well. You see, this is a very compelling picture for us. Self-control. And I think about the recent excesses that we have witnessed of those who want to proclaim a relationship with the living Christ, and yet a closer examination of their lives reveal that they have not lived lives that are consistent with the truth. Paul told Timothy, take heed, listen to the way Paul phrased, put these words together. Paul told Timothy, take heed to your life and doctrine. Take heed to your life, and then next he says, and doctrine. Paul wanted Timothy to understand the urgency of a life that was godly, the urgency of a life that had an unquestioned dependence upon the living Christ. You see, this is the crucified life. Paul wrote, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, and yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, sarx, I live the faith of the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. And so self-control is vital. At first, in Galatians chapter 5, I should say, Paul speaks about the work or the fruit of the Spirit. Paul writes in verse 19 of Galatians 5, now the works of the flesh, he does not say now the works of the sin nature, that is not in the Greek New Testament. Paul writes, now the works of the sarx are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, or contention. Emulation means to make war, and wrath, the word here for wrath is orgy, outburst of anger, strife, selfishness, self-will, engaged here, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you, as I have told you in time past, that they which do, notice, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he goes on in verse 22, and in the English it reads, but the fruit, the karpos, but the fruit of the Spirit. In the Greek, Paul uses the masculine article ho. He uses the particle they, and then he uses the noun karpos. But the fruit of the pneumatos, Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is present indicative. First of all, love, agape, which is a noun of action, joy, peace, irene, God's own peace, long suffering, macro, thumia, we shall deal with that word at another time, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And that word is the word that Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 9. It is the word self-control. Here we have given to us in verse 22 the character of the living Christ. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. Now, verse 24 is very powerful and contains a wealth of spiritual insight with regard to the life that should be dedicated to the living Christ. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, self-control is huge. It is, and so that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, Paul speaks of the disciplined life, self-discipline, self-control, controlling one's emotions, when one has the right attitude. And again, let me state that my attitude determines my altitude. When my attitude changes, then my emotions change. You and I know, and the medical literature tells us, that those with hostility or repressed anger have high blood pressure. It is a factor that contributes to high blood pressure, repressed anger. And so one can begin to change one's attitude, and then other realities will take place that are positive. Self-control, not merely repression, but self-control, understanding, getting help for anger, getting help for bitterness, getting appropriate help for these areas, for resentment, getting help for hostility. Because one cannot run God's race well if one is weighed down with these spiritual realities, because they take away from the life. They keep the life mediocre. They keep us in ways that are not healthy for us. And those within our periphery suffer too. There is help available. And God has provided his word for us. And it is through the appropriation of the truth of God's word that we grow and that we are set free. When Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And when the word of God talks about our anger, our jealousy, our bitterness, our suspicion, when the word of God tells us who we are and reveals what positional truth that should be real to us in our lives, then the more we read, study, and appropriate the word of God, let me use this word, metabolize the truth. Truth must be metabolized in order to be appreciated. Truth must appreciate our spirits. Truth blesses us when it is metabolized, because we are transformed as we partake, as we eat of the word of God. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. I will speak with you next time on Grammatica. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.